This morning's scripture reading is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We've got five verses this morning, and it's on page, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 990. And so please follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 3 of Paul's second letter to the Thessalonian church. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. When I was thinking about how to start off the service this morning, I was thinking about, first of all, this was a surprise to Don and Lori. At least I hope it was. Got a lot of people that knew about it, but just thinking about them and their ministry and their faithfulness, and a thing that came to mind is the idea of fellowship. That word fellowship has so many things in the area of sharing and things along that line, but that word fellowship ends with ship, and it makes me think of a boat, and I know Don likes fishing, and to get out in a boat with somebody can be an interesting experience. I just heard recently about a time where somebody was in a canoe with some people. And if you've ever gone canoeing, it stretches your marriage. I don't know if you've ever done that. Canoeing can do that. But when you think about this idea of a boat fellowship, we are all in this boat together, okay? We are all in this boat together. And we all have different roles. We all have different jobs to do. And in this ending here, because he does say finally in this letter, but you do know that when a preacher says finally, it only means so much, all right? I've been in services where he says finally, and then it really keeps going. You're like, you said finally, you liar. But Paul doesn't necessarily mean it the same exact way as that preacher that says it means it. The key here that we need to remember as he's wrapping up this epistle is for real spiritual growth to go on and effective ministry to go on, we must have prayer. We must have prayer. And people talk about prayer all the time. They say, you know, yeah, and most of the time, most people that I've met think of themselves as this is an issue that I'm not really good at. Prayer is not a part of my life the way it ought to be. And I just want to encourage you to be a person that prays. You say, I know, but I just don't feel worthy. Well, talk to the Lord about that. The only people that I've ever heard say, I'm a good prayer. As I've met some people that are good prayers, I think to myself, oh no, you're not a good prayer. Because when you start getting proud of certain things, and you have to tell people that, let me tell you you're a good prayer, all right? Or let somebody else tell you, or somebody starts looking to you as a person of prayer. So we come to this first point and in this lesson together here. Point number one is this, if you want to take notes, is the Lord is responsible. The Lord is responsible. Look at that first part of verse 1 of chapter 3 again. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us. And he's saying, finally here, he's saying basically that could be translated, for the rest, we're going to have some more things we're going to say here, or besides that, so that's what finally means here. He's saying it's the final section of the letter. There are lots of words, by the way, in the New Testament for prayer. This word here emphasizes going into the presence of God or moving toward God. He wants them praying for him and his team. I am humbled when people tell me that they're praying for me. I am blessed by that. I'll have every now and then people, hey, I just wanted you to know, I prayed for you this morning. I'm thinking, thank you. Please keep it up. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray what he's praying. Because sometimes the things we pray about aren't necessarily what the Bible calls on us to pray for. It might be on our hearts. But if you'll notice here, what he asks for them to pray for. And he emphasizes prayer so much. In fact, their first letter, he emphasized it. Listen to what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Look at that, a huge verse. Pray without ceasing. That's one of those you could memorize and go, I memorized a verse. Okay? He's saying, do it, and we've talked about this before, do it with the frequency of a hacking cough. And you know what I'm talking about. You know how that is. It's like, and it just keeps, that's the kind of prayer life that he wants for you and me. The same times as you and I are driving around or taking a shower or just doing life and we're mulling over thoughts in our brain, could I encourage you, take that stuff to the Lord. Take that stuff to the Lord. Instead of thinking it over. Or let's say there's somebody that has been a piece of work to you. A piece of work means they're a jerk, all right? Would it ever occur to you to pray for that person? The same amount of times that you're thinking those thoughts about them, would you pray for them? There are people that over the years have hurt me. And people I've hurt. And I literally have to force myself to pray. And I'm telling you, it changes your mindset. It changes your mindset toward that person. So he says here, pray for us. And Paul, by the way, was, like some of us would look at him as the super Christian. He knew that true power came from prayer. So he's asking, would you please pray for us? And he wants the word to speed ahead. It's reminiscent of Psalm 147, verse 15. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He's saying here, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. He wants the word to move fast. Now think about that. You think about, you ever watch your grandkids, your kids start running? You're going, they're getting pretty quick. They're getting faster. Paul's prayer was, I want the word of God to move quickly. And that's my prayer. I'm telling you, there's people I'm praying for. I want the time to move in their hearts. I want God to do this incredible work. And I know he's in control of time. But he says here to pray that it moves swiftly. So I'm thinking I'm biblical. When I'm saying, God, would you work in the lives of the life of this person that I love? Would you take your word and move swiftly in their lives? It's a biblical prayer. And preaching the word is a priority. And that's why our hearts desire as we're here, we do that. But he emphasizes prayer. Look at this in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so he's saying, you and I will look at sometimes at a guy like the Apostle Paul, and we'll go, he always was free with talking about God. It was easy for him. If it was so easy, why is he praying for boldness? He has the same fears that cross his mind. It may look differently, like you go, boy, there's somebody I should talk to about these things, the Lord, but I'm scared. Pray for boldness. Pray that God would give you a confidence in him that you'd share. I just might not say it right. Here's the amazing thing. God takes our faithfulness, trusting him, and I sometimes think he goes, I know that's what they were saying, but this is what that really means. And the Spirit of God just takes control. But are we willing to be faithful? Are we willing to speak that into somebody's life and say, God, would you do something? Because some of you, I'll spend time with you, you can talk about anything. Anything. He's like, oh, because I'm an expert. Really? Trust the Lord. That his word would move swiftly. Because there's some of these, we don't know what, I don't know how long, I think 2 Sundays ago, Kobe Bryant thought he was going to live a full life. Gone. And I'm watching that, and I'm watching the response of that to that. Now, I know sports is a big deal. Obviously, you know I like sports a little bit, all right? But I'm watching people respond, and here's what's going on. People are understanding, and it may be the one time they're understanding, life is like a vapor. I like the illustration. I didn't bring this up because this idea just hit me now, but the idea of spraying an aerosol can, and you spray that, and you watch that mist, and it goes, that's life. And we think to ourselves, yeah, I'm going to keep building friendships with these people. And then when I'm really there, then I'll share the gospel. And I'm saying, some of you, you're friends already. They love you. They trust you. They're ready. I don't know. It's been 5 years. 5 years. You're their friend. Share the truth with them. Trust the Lord that he'll take it. So we want the word to spread. This is a pattern with Paul. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. You see the pattern here? He comes to the end of letters here. He came to the end of Ephesians. He goes, pray for us. Colossians, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians, pray for us. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. It's time. It's time. And let's pray for one another. And I'm telling you, what are you praying for this church? Pray for us as leaders. Pray for our marriages. Pray for us to be real. Pray for us to love people. That's everywhere in the scriptures. And so, some of you might think, you know, it's great if the church would go, you know how the church is going to grow? As the people see that we are faithfully following Jesus Christ. I really don't believe when we get to glory that God's going to go, you know, you should have had a bigger church. Think about priorities. And I, by the way, love having numbers. I love having more people come. But if it's based on how can we get more people to come, it's shallow. But if we are leaders and people that desire to follow the word of God, that are faithful, how attractive that could be. And it also may be repellent to those that aren't serious about the Lord. They don't want to be a part of that. Okay. Everyone's welcome. But these are the things he's praying for. He's praying for boldness. He's praying for that God would be doing work here. And then he says, pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. The whole word. This is why we preach. Look at this in 2 Timothy 4. Look at how sobering this is. I want you to see how sobering this is. He's talking to Timothy, who is a timid young preacher. And look at how he charges him. You know what a charge is. He's saying, I charge you to something. I challenge you to something. He goes, Now look at how he prefaces this. I charge you in the presence of God. That's pretty big. and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Seriously, Paul? And by his appearing and his kingdom, what does he charge him? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is what happens. He knows this is going to, so he's saying, I want you, Grace Bible Church, here's what I want you to pray for. I want you to pray that the word is revered here, that we take it seriously. And he says there, he says, I want it to speed along, that swift speed. And then he says, I want you to pray that the word be honored. Honored here means magnify and praise something. Honor it to the highest level. It really is believed and obeyed. Isn't that great? That's what I want, Grace. That's what he says to pray for the Thessalonians. I want you to pray that it moves quickly and it's honored. Look at that verse number 2. And be honored as happened among you, verse 2, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. This word deliver is to deliver or rescue in the sense of drawing to oneself. It's the idea of, you know, back to that boat. Someone falls out. It's lifesavers thrown out. It's drawn back. Deliver. He and his team, they need to escape wicked and evil men. Wicked here is, some translations have perverse, unrighteous, improper. I like this. Out of place in a relationship with God. I know I've mentioned this before. This is another superhero, but remember Batman? Remember, some of you don't know this, but there was a TV show on Batman, Adam West. And every time they would come to the part where they were at Joker's hideout or they at Penguin's hideout, if you watch how they filmed it, it was crooked because they were crooks. And when you'd watch it, something was off. And that's what's here. These are crooks. This is a crooked generation. They're perverse. They're out of place. This doesn't fit. And you all know when you see that. You all know when something's up. Something's wrong here. Because you know the real, and so you can spot the counterfeit. And so he's saying, pray for that deliverance. He's praying for this gospel speeding ahead. He's praying that it would be honored because I've seen it in you, Thessalonica. And then that we may be delivered from these perverse, wicked, evil men. This evil word here is bad, worthless men. You're like, man, we're in church. There's people like that. It's in the Bible. It's there. And by the way, these were religious men. If you look at when Paul is praying this prayer in Acts 17, he went to Athens and then he went to Thessalonica, planted that church, and then he goes beyond, starts the church in Corinth. He's asking for prayer because they're going through a difficult time as he's writing this letter. And you see in that church in Corinth what is going on in the book of Acts, Acts 18 and beyond, what Paul is dealing with. He's not praying, I got a toothache. He's saying there's some serious stuff I need prayer for. Which, by the way, if you got a toothache, I get it. You need prayer, all right? But he's saying these are religious people, by the way, he's talking about. But they've got no relationship with God. And here's why. They have no faith. That word could be translated, for not all have the faith. It's not just, we believe in something. I'll meet some people every now and then, they go, what's important? My faith is important to me. Well, if your faith isn't tied into Christ, it's nice. But according to the Bible, it's not what saves. And so this is the faith. And so these people, they're showing up, they're spending time with Paul, and they're making his life really interesting in a really bad way. And he's saying, pray that we be delivered from that. They have no faith. They don't have the faith. They liked religion, they just didn't like Jesus. Point number two, the Lord is reliable. The Lord is reliable. Look at that first part of verse 3. He says, but the Lord is faithful. Now, we could have a whole time about that, couldn't we? That's all throughout the scriptures. God is trustworthy. He's reliable to his people. He will provide for his people. If we were seriously to take the time, because right now you might be in really difficult time. I do not know what it looks like for you. But wait. Wait on him because he's faithful. So many verses about him being faithful. This is just one. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And look at right there in the middle. God is faithful. I want you to hear that, because sometimes when that's a verse that we hold to when we're in the middle of, or just before we do stupid, or after we do stupid stuff. Isn't that the verse you quote or you've heard? And sometimes you forget that right in the middle of that are those three words, God is faithful. So let me read it to you again. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, I want to give you a heads up on this one, because God has shown this one to me over and over and over again. He's faithful. Just in this area. Just in this area, he's shown me so much. I'll give you an example. I'm not going to go too far with this because I'm not going to. But have you ever been tempted to do something you shouldn't be doing? And you start heading towards stupid land. We've talked about this before. You bought a ticket. You're heading there. All right. And some sort of barrier pops up. I don't know what it is. That's him helping you escape. But here's what happens a lot of times. I still want to do it. I still want to do this. That's on you. But I want to tell you, it would be so cool, and I think this would bless God's heart, if you can bless God's heart, all right? That if he throws up that barrier, that you go, I know what you're doing, and I'm hearing you. And you don't go to stupid land. I know that'd be like, that was worth, what, 5 cents? But, you know, free, all right? He's done this for me with conversations. I start on something that I shouldn't be saying, and something interrupts. And instead of going, yeah, that was stupid, I go, I'm still going to say it. And that's how dumb it is, all right? He's faithful. The way of escape. Trust him. And if it's really that important, honestly, if it's really that important, you could talk about it later. Or if it really was fine that you did it, do it later. But if he gives you the way of escape, this is so cool. This is cool. I think I've told you guys this story before, but this was one of those moments for me that it was like, what was I thinking? But I remember this is, and some of you that have been here, the 16 years I've been here, you've heard some of my stories over and over. But I'm at a Great American Chicago. It's Six Flags. Great America. And we had a roller coaster that was going like this, two together, two different. And you could, they were about, I forgot how far, but they were far enough away. But I thought, you know, I'm going to reach over and grab that one while we're moving. There are signs at the roller coaster place, stay in the car. But I'm thinking, this will be cool that I can reach over. So I'm reaching over as far as I can, and I'm almost there. And I didn't hear a voice, but something said, get in the car, you dumb idiot. All right. I think that's what it was called, you know. And I get in the car, and within seconds, there was a barrier that we went into tunnels. It would have ripped me in half. God is faithful. Can you imagine how many times when we get to heaven, the time where God go, you want to see all the times I saved you? Some of you have angels that are like exhausted. Oh, I'll take Tori for a while. You got Tori? Good. You can take Tori. God is faithful. Amen? So let's go back to verse 3. He says, but Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Establish, make one firm and fixed and steadfast. Remember, stand firm. The idea of the hiking boots there, they're solid. I'm standing firm. He will do that. He's faithful. He will do that. Guard. God will watch over you and be a careful guard. I love watching just a grandpa or a grandma with their kids, or a dad, mom. And you just watch them with that little one, mama bear or papa bear. You don't want to mess. They stand guard. They're watching the whole time at the playground. What's going on? It's a beautiful thing to see. That's our Lord. God will watch over you and be a careful guard. Good first part of verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord about you. Isn't that great? So after all these admonitions of please pray for us, pray that the word would move swiftly, that it would be honored, that you'd pray for us about evil men. And then he goes, and I have confidence about you. Confidence here is expressing God's ability to advance and accomplish and produce all great things God intended to accomplish. But I want to say to you, I have confidence in you. Let's start to be people that think positively about one another instead of thinking the worst. Because the worst happens. We know it. But it's so easy to be Eeyore.
I thought that would happen.
Or Bad Luck Schleprock, if you remember him.
Wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo.
And to think good about someone until they prove otherwise.
So, well, they keep proving it.
I know. But keep praying that God would advance in them. Think positively about it. Because Paul is so great. We have confidence in the Lord about you. And by the way, isn't it interesting? It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. But it's positive. That you are doing and will do the things that we command. And some people are like, command? Who is he to say? You know what? A lot of the Bible is commands. And we live in this time where people, obey, you are not the boss of me. Wow. You know what's interesting? The people that are anti-authority are so amazingly new with their thoughts until they become an authority.
I don't understand why they aren't listening to me.
Well, all the way up to here. You've been preaching this stuff. There's going to come a time where all of us have to obey somebody and something. And he's saying, we command. This grace system is to be viewed as instruction and an order that came from the Lord. Even the gospel's a command. It's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to. Okay. It's a command. I have to submit to his lordship. Isn't it great? If you've got a good master, it's not a problem. So what you mentioned about Don and Lori and their relationship, it's a beautiful thing to watch that kind of thing, but you have an understanding, not perfect, but he loves me. Point number three, the Lord is returning. The Lord is returning. One verse here, one more verse, beginning of verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts through the love of God. Direct. This rare optative aorist verb in the Greek. That means that the great wish of the Apostle Paul was that God would direct, guide, and keep straight the heart of every believer in the Thessalonian church. He's a director. I don't know if you ever watch. I know the Oscars are tonight. There's somebody that's going to win Best Director. And that director is really in charge of how that movie plays out. And we just enjoy the movie. But if they didn't have a director, it would be off. Somebody has to, okay, that's cut here, scenes, moving here, all those different things. How it is envisioned, how it's going to come onto the screen. It's direction. Once again, that's a willingness to put ourselves under direction. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. God is capable of developing the heart of a person so that there would be a steadfastness and endurance in Jesus Christ. I like this poem by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. Traveling on a steamer between New Haven and New York, she wrote the following poem when her husband noted that the same wind that carried one ship east and another west. Is that interesting? One ship drives east and another drives west with the self-same winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales which tells us the way to go. Like the winds of the sea are the ways of fate as we voyage along through life. 'Tis the set of a soul that decides its goal and not the calm or the strife. So as the mast affects the sail, so the depth of your love will determine the steadfastness of your soul. So how do we keep going, Grace? How do we keep doing this? Well, we've got some principles here. There's a personal commitment to prayer. Prayer is the sextant which keeps us off the rocks. You know what a sextant is? It's something that is used in navigation that gives distance and understanding for the captain of the ship. There's also a mutual agreement on essentials. Certain principles of navigation have to be shared by all of the crew. And there's also a sacrificial involvement in ministry. When the sails are down, everyone has to man the oars. When the ship takes on water, everyone has to bail. And lastly, there's a humble acknowledgement of need. We may have different quarters, but we're all in the same boat. How are we doing, fellowship? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and faithfulness. And thank you, Lord, that we can look to you. Because we need you, God. You truly are the captain of this ship, this fellowship. So thank you for being faithful to us, with us, patient, and ask you now that as we're going into this week, that, Father, we would be people that would pray that your word would move speedily into lives, that we'd be a part of that process if we have to be, that it would be honored, and that you'd also protect us from evil ones and the evil one. We're trusting you, God, and thank you that you told us not just to pray, but what to pray about. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.